Welcome to the Sanctuary Podcast, hosted by Angel Deer. In this podcast, we explore the mysteries of spirituality and consciousness. In each episode, we dive deep into the realms of human experiences, our rapidly changing world, and the unseen realms, tapping into the universal wisdom that connects us all. Whether you're a seasoned spiritual seeker, starting to awaken to the possibilities of a more expansive reality, or want support on your journey, this podcast is for you. Join me as we explore topics such as shamanism, spiritual transformation, holistic healing, the medicine path, energy healing, plant medicine, ancient wisdom, and more. Our guests are respected elders and experts in their fields, and we'll learn from their insights and experiences as we journey together on the path of spiritual growth. If you can, please consider supporting this podcast by joining our Patreon page at patreon.com/thesanctuaryny. Once again, it is patreon.com/thesanctuaryny. Now, let's dive into today's episode.
So, hello everyone, and good morning, good afternoon. Sandra, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm really excited to be with you today. Last time we connected, I think it was a year ago, and we talked about the relevance of shamanism in the 21st century, in the time we're in. And since then, you wrote that beautiful book, Walking Through Darkness, a nature-based path to navigating suffering and loss. And I'm halfway through it, but I'm getting a lot out of it about this initiation that darkness, pain, illnesses, you know, either illnesses of the body or the mind or the collective, can be those big rite of passage, big transformation point that are necessary. So before we dive in, I would like to ask you, you know, what pushed you to write about this specific topic about walking through darkness in this time we're in?
Yeah, so I grew up in Brooklyn, New York, and I grew up in an immigrant neighborhood where there was an amazing amount of suffering. I mean, amazing amount of suffering. There were some of my neighbors had survived the Holocaust, and a lot of my neighbors survived all the troubles that they were going through in Italy. You know, they had to flee for their lives. Mm-hmm. And so this was kind of what I grew up in. And so I always saw how sad people were. A lot of people were committing suicide in my neighborhood. I was pretty young. My next door neighbor committed suicide. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't understand why people were suffering so much. I had a vision when I was a kid of I wanted to teach people how to be happy. And I might have taken on a little bit too much when I was
going to say, ask how does that go?
And so I had a lot of initiations as a kid. I got hit by lightning. I had a be without light for a really long time due to a really bad case of measles. So I had real classic initiations in Brooklyn, New York, that where nobody knew how to train me or what to do or how to help me in any way whatsoever. And my initiations continued through life. I drowned in Mazatlan and was brought back through CPR, and I drove my car off a cliff, and I almost got killed by a boulder about people were saying about a 10-ton boulder flying off of Mount Shasta. So my life has really been about the spirit trying to wake me up to the power of spirit. But in our culture, back in former times, we had grandparents and great aunts who would rock us on a chair and tell us stories of hard times and how you get through them. So we all, at some point in history, it was very important for our elders to help us create a roadmap for not just to how to get through the good times of life, but how do you get through the really tough times mm-hmm. when there's loss, there's pain, you're not doing well, it looks like the world is getting ready to fall apart. We had elders who did that. So a little over 9 years ago, I was on a call. I was teaching online, and it was before Zoom, and it was teleconferencing. And my class was great. Everything was wonderful. I put down the phone and I stood up and I felt like I was hit by lightning again. There are ways that could have happened through my phone line. It was ungrounded, but there might have been other things going on. Nobody really understands what happened to me. I got thrown against the wall. I went up. I didn't want to freak my husband out. So I just said, I had a good class, but I'm really tired. So I'm going to go to bed now. Mm. And when I woke up the next day, my head was a little turned, but nobody could see it. My husband couldn't see it. My chiropractor couldn't see it. Nobody could see it, but I could. Anyway, to make a very long story short, I had developed a very, very rare brain disorder like that in a minute. And that threw me into the darkest place I've ever been in my life, because with everything that's happened to me in life, I've been able to power through, I've been able to function, I've been able to continue to live my life. And I can't. With this brain disorder, I can't. I can come online. I can teach. I can still teach, but I really have very little function in life of what I can do. And so this has been for 9 years. And so I decided. It felt to me, and I talk about this in the book, that I was in an airplane at 30,000 feet and somebody pushed me out in the middle of the night with no flashlight, no tools, no ladders, no ropes, no map, no anything. And I was just kind of left to find my own way. And in shamanism, that is an initiation, where the spirits bring you to a place of true darkness, where your ego has no idea what to do. It's beyond your ego. Your mind can't figure out the way. And so the purpose of an initiation is to shed the ego, to shed the mental thoughts that don't work for you anymore, so that your spirit becomes so alive and so present, it shows you how to walk through the darkness, because it's the elder you didn't have, but you've always had it throughout your whole entire life. And so it's your spirit that gets you through. And so first I taught a course called the Dark Night of the Soul Leads to the Light of the Shaman. And I wanted to give people the roadmap that I used of how have I been living for 9 years. If people actually knew what was going on in my life, people would know nobody believes I can do what I'm doing. I have support from the medical community. They don't want me to stop working under any circumstances whatsoever. Whereas my students say, take a break, take a break. My doctors go, don't, whatever you do, don't stop. Because people who have this disorder have a really tough life, and finding something that you're really passionate about is part of getting through, is part of getting through the initiation, and is part of the roadmap, is not sitting down in the dark, but keep on walking. And if there's something you're passionate about, don't stop doing it. You know, it's just one piece. And so the book is actually written at a perfect time, because there are so many people walking through the dark right now. And there's no roadmaps out there. You know, people aren't saying, how do you take a next step when you just can't figure out how to get out of bed? How do you take it? And so that's why I wrote. That's a long answer, but it's why.
No, that's a beautiful answer. Thank you for sharing that, Sandra. You know, and I'm always quite mesmerized and also a little bit stepping back. It's like, wow, it doesn't matter how many initiation we have had or how much training we have. Obviously, 9 years ago, you were already renowned teachers and you've gone through this way a long time. But there was still that initiation that came in. And also maybe the moments where we don't know what to do, despite all the tools, despite all the training, because then we might see the way, right? Spirit might start showing us. But I want to kind of talk about the moments where maybe many people are, where a big shock arrives. It could be personal, it could be in the family, it could be in the collective. And first, we are very disoriented. And maybe the mind, the ego, or even the spiritual ego, what we know, right, is trying to do something about it. But there is this moment of deeper surrender. Mm-hmm. And I wonder for you, with all your years of experience, being an elder and going through that, what was going through at that moment? Was there still that trying to do? Or were you really comfortable, that's maybe not the right word, but like open, say, okay, I know I have to wait there. I know I have to, you know, be patient and surrender more. What was this time there?
Oh, I was terrible. I was everything I tell people not to do. First of all, in shamanism, it's known that when we go through an initiation, our spirits actually can't help us. Because if your spirit can't get you through, then you're not strong enough to be able to add to your community. And in shamanism, everything was about how strong the community was. And so initiations were created to fire up your spirit, make your spirit shine. And so the spirits step away because they can't carry you through an initiation, or your spirit didn't become alive enough to get you through. And so I became bitter. My spirits left me again. I had a very difficult time with my father when he was dying, which is probably one thing that added some to me getting this brain disorder, which is through extreme stress. And I loved my father. He was everything to me. And he went through a really torturous time. And so I disconnected from God at that time. I was so angry at God. How could you do this to a 97-year-old person who was so good, you know? And so then when I got my brain disorder, it was all about disconnecting. And that was a very important lesson for me. Disconnected from God again. I disconnected from my spirits. I said, I've been doing this work for over 40 years for you. And this is how you thank me. I mean, you're not even willing to help me. you're not even willing to say anything to me, mm-hmm. nothing, no encouragement. You can do this. So I became very bitter. And I think that that is part of being in the darkness, is it's not part of our human condition to say, okay, throw me into a torturous situation and immediately say, thank you. I do believe you do get to that point. I've gotten to that point. I don't know how big my thank you is. I feel I could have gotten lessons another way. But I am at a place of gratitude for all I've been through and what I've learned and how I've been able to help others. And so for me, everything was about disconnection. And so as a shamanic teacher, this is everything I tell my students not to do. Connect, stay connected. But where I was able to connect, where I couldn't connect to the spirits that had been working to me, was I was able to connect with nature. And so nature really became my healing force that helped me, that helped me keep walking and not sitting down. The last thing I wanted to say is, I've been journeying since Halloween of 1980 was when I had my first shamanic journey. And my second shamanic journey was my helping spirit coming to me and saying, whatever happens to you in life, don't sit down in the dark. And so the whole point of the book and the whole point of what I teach is, whatever happens to you, find the littlest way to put your foot 1 inch forward. Mm. And I found for myself that nature helped me kept putting my 1 foot forward. Mm.
So, you know, this was 9 years ago, right? Mm. And now you're still dealing with this. Mm-hmm. So do you feel like sometime initiation can be this very, very long process because there is still learning and growth for you, right? Yes. And I'm always fascinated when someone that has been on the path for so long and has been to initiation say, yeah, in fact, you know, there are still things I'm learning here. And still the 9 years later, I realize, oh, I was saying that to my students, but I was not doing it. And this, right, it's like really getting deeper compassion, I feel, and kind of connection to other people suffering. So I wonder how, aside from, I don't want to talk about your capacity, but more your heart connection with the teaching, how's that shifting today, the way maybe you might teach on those topics, or even you might teach core shamanism, some aspect of it, how that opened maybe something that was important?
You talk about love, and in my family history and in my own body, my father's side of the family, we all have a very enlarged heart. And we've all had big hearts. And so what caused my brain disorder was taking on everybody's suffering. And so this was a big lesson for me of what can happen in the shamanic community that gets so codependent on stopping suffering and eating people's suffering and taking it on and absorbing it, feeling like we're actually giving a gift, but we're not. My teacher, the Egyptian goddess Isis, when I was writing my book, Medicine for the Earth, told me, she said, you're not a hollow bone. You're so filled with people's pain. How are we supposed to get through you? How are we supposed to get through all that pain? She said, empathy is and compassion is something that's important, but taking on pain You don't allow the spirits to actually work through you if you're filled with too much pain. How are we supposed to get through that? And that's a real illness that I've seen in the shamanic community. I've been teaching now for 43 years. I'm 71 years old. And so what I had to learn about for the first time, and the biggest thing, if you listen to my teachings now, is about self-love and self-worth. And I feel in the shamanic community that is really lacking. It definitely was lacking in my own life. But as I'm talking about it and writing about it, people say to me, I have no idea how to love myself. I was taught not to love myself. I was taught that I wasn't worth anything. How am I supposed to love myself? So I have journeys, I have exercises to help people with that, and I'm doing them myself, and they're helping me. And so initiations can go on for a really long time. I mean, you see that. I once worked with the Uchi people. The Uchi people are on the border of Siberia and Japan. And they were really known for soul retrieval, which was what I'm known for. And so they came over to do a workshop back in the 1990s. And grandfather was, he was the soul retrieval expert in his community. He was about, they weren't really sure of his age, but he was about 94 when he came over. So I really learned a lot from them. And their greatest shaman, grandmother, had had a psychotic break for 18 years, but they knew it was an initiation. So they kept her in a cabin, a hut, you know, whatever homes they lived in for 18 years. They kept her safe because they knew she was going to wake up to be the greatest shaman and be able to keep their community alive and heal the community. And that's exactly what happened. 18 years later, she came out of this initiation and became the greatest shaman in their community. So you don't know. There's so much we don't know in our modern culture about the process that people have to go through to really be able to bring through the healing energies that are required at a particular time or for a particular culture. We're really blind to that. In our culture, we would have just said, why didn't they put grandmother in a mental institution? Or why didn't they put grandmother on drugs? 18 years and she became their greatest shaman, but she was completely schizophrenic for 18 years.
So obviously, you know, there is a deep need for community, for elders, right, that can teach you those things. A little bit what you were saying when you grew up, right? There was nobody around that could really give meaning to what was going on. I feel obviously today maybe we don't have that always that close community, but there is a big, you know, online community, and there's more workshops, and there's teachers, and people might have that. But I'm really feeling deeply about what you were sharing earlier about people taking on the suffering and the pain, because one part of the path is asking to really feel into the world, to really be open to the suffering of the world, right? And the other one is also asking to keep our power and to stay grounded and, you know, to stay centered and to be cleared. So, you know, I'm surprised about it, because you're skilled, right? So you knew all that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So what is that thing? Is that just boundary? Like, what I'm trying to understand is, you know, how do we as practitioner or maybe students, right? How do we find that right? No, that right place where it's too much empathy or too much compassion. Is there anything like that even that exists? How do we, you know, make sure we stay also very clean internally, right? So we don't become this bucket of suffering, right, from all the people we interact with.
Yeah, taking on suffering, being compassionate is part of being a human, but also a requirement for anybody who wants to step onto a shamanic path, because if you're not compassionate, the spirits are going to take you down in a way that's not very comfortable. It's really tricky because we don't always understand, like, sometimes giving examples for me is a little bit easier. I had a friend, my best friend was dying of AIDS about over 30 years ago. And I kept on saying to him, please let me work on you. Please let me work on you. Please let me help you. And he said to me, this is my illness. This is mine. I need to work with this. I need to learn the lessons of it. It's not for somebody to take this away from me. And so what people really react to in our time is that we came in into this lifetime with a particular destiny, with a particular karma of what we came in to learn, the evolutionary growth that we came in to really step into, and what that means for each and every one of us. And we take that away from people. Mm-hmm. We say, no, it's not okay for you to get your lessons. It's not okay. I need to fix it. I don't want you to be in pain. You know, it's one of the reasons teachers who are public never want to share what's going on, really going on with them, because you get thousands and thousands of people working on you. And that's the worst thing that could happen, is having all those people in your psychic space while your spirit and your soul is trying to heal yourself. Mm-hmm. So there's so much education that needs to happen in the shamanic community about permission. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest fight I have in my workshops. I've been teaching literally for 43 years. For about 10 years, I was on the road 300 days a year. I have taught so many people. And the biggest fight that is in my workshops that I have to close off at some point is this issue of, why do I have to have permission to heal another person? Mm. It's the biggest fight. People in this culture don't get it, don't get that sometimes you actually make things worse from a person when you don't let them go through what's been called in for them to go through and to learn. And then the other thing that people are sick of me lecturing on, everybody, if anybody has ever heard me lecture, could actually repeat the words with me, is the worst thing we can do, and we do this to everybody, is pity them. Hmm. Because pity, oh my God, you poor thing, what you're going through, this is what our culture does. And I try to explain that everything is energy, and think of how heavy the energy of pity is. Mm. So if a million people can find out about a suffering that you're going through, and a million people are saying, you poor thing, would you want that? I mean, would you want that? But that's what we do. Mm. So I try to have people see people in their light, see people in their strength, understand that every one of us is in Earth School and is going through a particular life lesson plan. We might not understand it. We don't understand why it's so hard sometimes, but we chose this. We chose to come in at this time to learn these particular lessons, and we rob people constantly by projecting our feelings on everybody. There's a difference between being compassionate to the suffering of others versus projecting what you would be feeling on them.
Yeah, so very true. You know, a few years ago when I spent a few years with deep chronic pain and illness, and I was pretty much in bed and could not do anything. My brain was very foggy and took me a while to share. I'm always like a bit like you, you know, it's like, because then you receive unwanted advice or prayers. And I got really upset by people that would just set up ceremonies and prayers without asking my permission for it, you know. And people get really upset when you're asking them not to do it.
Right.
Yeah. People feel like it's like a gift, right? They're praying for you and all of that. But it made me really angry. You know, I just could feel that energy. And so I can really relate about what you are sharing here. That's quite powerful. And yeah, I think permission is something that, you know, we're in a culture where we take a lot. We don't always ask for permission for anything. So I think it's on a broader culture, not just the shamanic culture or the, you know, this community, but beyond that, I think it's the culture where we're in, right? We just take, right? If we can, right?
Right. And give whether people want it or not.
Yeah, and give, you know, but then it's not really a gift because really nobody really asked for that and nobody really needed it in the first place, right?
Yeah, so. but compassion, having compassion, that's and holding space, having compassion, holding space, and seeing people in their light and strength is the greatest gift that you can give somebody. Because having compassion, you're not pitying a person, but you're feeling something in your heart. Somebody's going through a hard time and you care about it, but you're not overextending yourself without being called in or asked to help.
Yeah, and on the other side of that, and I wonder what's your view on that, but we're also in a culture where people are in pain and don't want to share about it or don't want to ask for help. And many people I talk to, they're like, oh, I don't want to bother anyone, or I don't want to be pitied, maybe, or I don't want to be seen that way, so I'd rather not ask for help. Right. So because we are quite individualistic in a culture, we don't live in those small tribes, those small groups, where everybody and each other, many people suffer from depression, maybe commit suicide and things like that, also because they are very isolated. So it feels like, what is that balance? Because sometimes we need to ask for help, while we need the, maybe not the whole world to know, but we need a certain group of people to say, hey, I need help. I can't do this anymore, right? And right. It's not always easy for most people I know, including myself, to let ourselves be helped. At least for me, it's something that's difficult to let. Okay, you're going to take care of that for me without feeling any guilt, I guess, you know, or things like that.
Yeah, as a culture, we're much better at giving than receiving. And so there's a couple of things that I'd like to share about this particular issue. One is a lot of people contact me when they're really, really ill or are going to commit suicide or mostly have cancer. And they only want to ask me or tell me what's going on because they know that I'm not going to freak out and I'm not going to get all codependent and I'm not going to get scared, meaning a lot of people will not share a cancer diagnosis because they don't want to be pitied, just what I said. And I have hundreds and hundreds of students who have said this. I do not want to, Sandra, please don't tell anybody about my diagnosis. I don't want people projecting on me that I'm going to die. And I work with people, you know, because I worked for a long time because sometimes the next step in a healing process is life, and sometimes the next step in a healing process is death. And so I don't want to project that. And so people are afraid of the projection that's going to be put on them if they ask for help. So that's number one. And then we come back to the issue of self-love and self-worth. Do you love yourself enough? Do you feel that your life is worth enough for you to have the courage to step forward and ask for help? Are you willing to do that? And in our culture, no. And so we're being pushed. When we look at how Ram Dass talked about what happened to him after his stroke, he was forced to only receive. He could not move.
Yeah.
So he actually was forced by the universe to only receive. And I studied with a teacher, Angelise Arian. I studied Tarot with her, but then she started teaching shamanism. She was Basque. And she used to say that giving and receiving is all one cycle. If you're only giving, you know nothing about giving. Mm-hmm. You have to learn about receiving before you can ever learn about giving. And so it's a big step for people, everybody. It's a big step to reach out and ask for help. But you have to find a person who's not going to project the worst on you and says, I'm going to hold space for you. I'm going to be here with you. I'm going to see you in your strength. I'm going to see you in your light. And any support you need, you let me know.
Yeah, we don't want to be coming to a point where we're forced into receiving, right? Like Ram Dass, where spirits are like, okay, now we're going to put you in a situation where you have no choice.
Right.
Grandmother Sri Crow told me one day, she said, well, you don't want to be hit by a 2x4 from spirit, because at some point they're going to come and force you into that teaching, right? Into that learning experience.
Yeah.
So I want to open a little bit the conversation just around the collective suffering and the loss. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in a situation, not just since last year, but for many years now, there is more and more losses and suffering happening in environments and the fish and the waters, the animals, native people. Now the war in the Middle East, right? So for many people, it can feel very, very difficult to find ways to really honor the suffering and the loss, to feel into it without being too overwhelmed by it. So I feel sometimes people either get really too overwhelmed by it and too really feeling like it's their pain, right? In some ways, or completely closed off and completely disconnected from it. And the shamanic path kind of teaches us to be connected in certain ways, right? So I would love to just hear your perspective not on the political of what's happening, but more as a shamanic practitioner, how do we handle those big events and those big transition that we are in as a collective right now?
I don't know what it is, but everything is very simple for me. There are mysteries about healing that, yes, I don't understand, but like with a question that you're asking me right now, I go, well, what is the simplest way to think about this? And how do we approach what's happening? And so for me, it all comes down to the shamanic principle of sacred reciprocity. In shamanism, there's an understanding. There's that flow that I just talked about, that Angie Arian talked about. Giving and receiving is one process. And so I am in love. I mean, in love in ways that people will never understand with the elements. I am so in love with the elements as beings. I talk to them every day. They're the only thing keeping me alive is the elements, earth, the wind, the sun, the waters of the world, the river of life, the oceans, and even lightning. lightning is an element. That came from me twice. The Quero people in the Andes told me that I was hit by lightning, that my brain disorder did come from being hit by lightning, and they didn't know about either event. They said you were hit by lightning twice, once as a child and once as an adult. And so to me, I don't get it. I don't get the question. If you throw poison into water, that gives you life. We're water and we're drinking poison. And you throw poison into the earth, that's giving you the food and the beauty that calls to your soul and the nature beings that we all love. We're also species lonely. And you throw poison into the air that you breathe. What do you think is going to happen? I mean, I've been saying this now for over 20 years, and people still go, oh, I don't understand the issue. The issue is we as a collective do not understand sacred reciprocity. We don't know how to give and receive in harmony with other humans. So we have wars because everything is about territory. There's no flow. There's no give and receive. It's take, 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 or I have to give in. And if we would just get up every single day and give thanks to the sun for giving us life, thanks to the earth for giving us life, thanks to water for giving us life, thanks to the wind for giving us life, thanks to the moon, the stars, the cosmos for showing us the roadmap, the way. I do not believe we would be experiencing what we're experiencing today. Okay. So for me, it's simple. Everybody has to do their own work and start working with sacred reciprocity. Where are you taking too much and where are you not giving? You have to look at how much in harmony you are in the environment that you're living in, and balance it out. Do ceremonies. Give thanks. It's not that hard to give thanks for what you receive. And then we start to wake up, hopefully, to the craziness of our behavior, because it really is crazy.
Yeah.
And we also can't take on too much of what's going to happen. We really have to do our work, our own work, and then we have to let go of the result, because we don't know what the destiny of this collective is. We don't. That is part of the mystery.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for that. I often feel that if everybody in the morning were just taking a minute to feel the earth, to feel it fully, everybody would just start weeping and we will stop the war. We will stop this, madness that we've put onto the earth and each other. But we have to take this time, right? We have to make those moments of deep connection so we can really feel into it.
Yeah, and so people are being stretched. People are being stretched way beyond their comfort level right now. Mm. And because it's the comfort level that allows us to shut down, and to say, I don't want to see. With what's going on for me, my eyes are glued open. I can't shut down to what's going on. But I can receive an amazing amount of love from others and from nature that reminds me that this is what life is about. And where we are right now is just an illusion. It's a play that's just really crazy. On the positive side, because there is a positive side of what's happening, I'm watching some of my students actually jumping into another dimension of reality where they're so, they've connected so deeply to source, the spiritual world, and to nature from performing their ceremonies, from performing their journeys, that they're living a beautiful life. And they're not aware, but in a good way, of all that's happening. And that's a really good place to be, too. That's a real healing place for the planet, too, is all the people who are stepping up on an evolutionary level that I haven't seen in my work. My last course that I taught on shamanic journeying, I saw people going to high levels of evolution that I have never seen in 43 years and in such a short period of time. So we have this immense tragedy happening on the planet. We have a lot of loss. We have a lot of suffering. But the people who are really going into that, going into the suffering and turning into nature, and nature giving them the tools and nature giving them the messages, those people are doing really well. Mm-hmm. And they are changing the collective in a positive way. Mm-hmm. And I include you as one of those, and I include me as one of those people. Mm-hmm. We are changing the collective in a positive way by reminding people of the beauty of life and the beauty of this planet. And educating people about that is really what needs to happen to turn things around.
Thank you. Thank you, Sandra, for that. I really feel it deeply. In the last few minutes that we have together, I would love to, you know, I encourage people to really get your book and dive into it. But I don't want to reveal any secret of what's in the book, but would you share, let's say, you know, someone is listening today and is going through a big amount of suffering or loss in their life, you know, and it sounds always so reductive to ask for that, but what are the couple of things, maybe two, three things they can do to be able to walk with that, right? Not getting out of it, not being fixed, not change really, but to be able to walk with more connection to that, some heart, some space, even in their bodies, in their mind for it.
Yeah, I definitely know how dark things can feel. And I think we have to remember that small steps, really small steps, take us to where we want to go. I used to be a firefighter for the Oregon, the Forest Service in Oregon.
I didn't know that.
We would have to wear these, you know, heavy packs and walk up these mountains. And my whole life, I'm like my mother, I walk like a turtle. We both walk so slow, there isn't a person on the planet who can walk with us. And I was always the first person up the mountain, because everybody would move so quickly with these packs and they burn out and they fall over and have to rest. And I just step by step by step. And so that's a metaphor for how I live life. I believe that people are coming up with too big a goals right now, and they're getting paralyzed. It's like, well, I've been in bed for 2 years. I have to get up. I'm going to do this, 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 this. It's too big. It's too much. What is one simple thing that you can do tomorrow? So like for me, when I couldn't do anything, but I wanted to start moving forward, I started lighting a stick of sage every day and just clearing myself. Such a simple thing, but it got me connected back to spirit again when I couldn't connect. It was such a simple thing. Breathed it in, and all of a sudden, I was back into my spiritual practices, remembering the truth of who I am, and going out and taking walks and letting nature give you signs, really like how the wind will kiss your cheek or play with your hair, and you might see a rainbow or you might see a butterfly, and it just gives a little bit of a lift to your heart that you're still here and there's still something bigger going on that's better. And then doing ceremonies, really simple ceremonies, like coming up with, I have done so much work on the pain that I've been carrying for the last 43 years, and I keep being surprised by what the spirit show me. And we're being burdened by our past. We're it's too heavy. We can't move forward with as much hurt and trauma that is sitting on our shoulders, what we're carrying on our shoulders. So doing little ceremonies like giving a hurt to the earth, to the wind, to the fire, to the water, to ask to be transmuted into love and life. And what you start to notice is that you start walking and your past starts being behind you. And so in walking in darkness, that's a really big issue for me, is how much of our past we're carrying forward, how much we don't love ourselves, and how much self-worth is not part of our makeup for a lot of people in the spiritual community. So I do give ceremonies and really easy practices to let go of what you're carrying, and then ceremonies and easy practices to call in simple things that will help you to step forward. So I'm not trying to sell the book, but there are practices and tools about letting go of the burdens so that we're not being weighed down by our past, and calling in the goodness of life. And that's what we all want to be doing right now.
Yeah. Did you ever feel like some elders' initiation, they're also to bring us back to the simple, to the little thing, to appreciate the little, because we had so many the big experience and that, and here we're like, I just light my sage and this is like everything, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Thank you so much, Sandra. What a pleasure to be with you. I'm just showing the book for everyone again, Walking Through Darkness, that Sandra wrote with Lynn Roberts, and we'll put the links under our podcast and our YouTube video. Sandra, such a pleasure to be with you again. Thank you for all your wisdom.
Thank you.
Yeah, what a gem. What a gem. What a pleasure.
Yeah, you are too. I really enjoy your writing.
Thank you. Thank you, Sandra.
You share amazing tools and you have an amazing presence. So thank you.
Thank you, Sandra. Much blessing to you. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Yeah. Have a good rest of the day.
Thank you for listening to the Sanctuary Podcast. We deeply value your support. Please consider sharing this podcast with others and joining our Patreon page at patreon.com/thesanctuaryny. Once again, it is patreon.com/thesanctuaryny. At The Sanctuary, we believe that spirituality is a personal journey that takes many forms. And we honor and respect all paths to awakening and the rise of consciousness. Our mission is to provide a platform for open and honest conversations about spirituality and to inspire and empower our listeners to live their most authentic lives in good relation to each other's, the living and invisible worlds. I look forward to connecting with you again here or at our events, retreats, and online gatherings. You can find all our offerings at thesanctuaryheal.com. Once again, it is thesanctuaryheal.com.